Hi, it's Phil Henry. It's time for episode 386 of our classic podcast. This is one of my all-time favorites. It's Art Griego. In all of his arrogant glory as a pilot, he tells us that he showed the film Castaway unedited on a charter flight that he was flying, and the listeners did not let up, as Art explains that this is his prerogative, and it's his right to show this film, to show people what can happen on a flight, and it also relaxes him showing such a hair-raising and nerve-wracking movie on a flight that he is piloting, so he doesn't have to deal with the passengers. I don't know how that works, but let's listen here. It is episode 386 of our classic podcast. Art Griego is a commercial pilot. Because this is something that is being litigated, we cannot mention the carrier's name. We can tell you that Mr. Griego has been named in a suit along with his airline. We can tell you that the suit was filed by a passenger who was aboard an aircraft piloted by Mr. Griego. Art, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Phil, and hearing our side to this.
You were flying transcontinental. That's not the name of an airline. That is, you were flying across the country on April 30th of this year. When the movie Castaway was shown in the coach cabin aboard your aircraft, correct?
That is correct, Phil.
Now, before we go any further, the film Castaway has a rather frightening plane crash scene.
Yes, sir.
And this is a scene in the film, if people haven't seen it, where a Federal Express jet, which is carrying parcels, packages, and so forth, it crashes into the South Pacific during a terrible storm. There is a multiple loss of life for the crew, with one exception, the Tom Hanks character.
Yeah.
And it's been my understanding, now this film was shown, it's been my understanding these kinds of movies or these kinds of scenes are edited from in-flight films because they might make the passengers upset or in some way it would frighten the passengers, correct?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of background, Phil, on that. It's really entirely up to the airline. Some airlines choose to edit their films. Others are maybe a little bit too busy to do that. You know, they might have a little bit more to think about than editing in-flight movies. And, you know, when you get down to the basic considerations of safety and the basic consideration for me as a pilot, and pretty much every pilot I know, the idea is to get from one place to another. And that's what you want to do. You want to take the aircraft off, you want to fly it to your destination, and you want to land it with as minimum amount of trouble as possible.
Now, but your airline's policy is to show edited films, is that correct? I mean, your airline will actually edit the films. You say that it depends on the airline, but the airline you fly for.
Well, that is correct.
All right, now, before you go on, I just want everybody so we can get the full background here, Art. You brought on board an unedited copy of Castaway yourself with this crash scene.
That is correct, yeah.
So, in other words, on board the flight had been delivered an edited version of the movie Castaway, which you instructed the flight attendant not to play, instead run the one that you brought on board.
Yes, I did.
All right, why did you do that?
I'll tell you, Phil. First of all, we fly many hours. We are professionals. We are courteous. I have flown for this particular airline for almost 2 years, and in that time, I'm always professional, as is my crew. But what people don't understand is that there is another side to the coin, and and that other side of the coin is the pressure that we live with. The lives of hundreds of people are at stake. The pressure is seldom off, especially when you're flying across country at night. I'm a very big believer of giving my crew a chance to blow off steam, to try to relax even while they're doing the job, and that's why that's basically what we were doing on the night of the 30th.
All right, well, you were flying a transcontinental flight across the United States. You're trying to, and then you got a signal from your flight attendant, Elaine Beaupre, one of the flight attendants, that the in-flight movie had begun. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, so people know, you're flying somewhere over where?
At that point, we had reached a place mid-flight, the flight plan, where we knew that we would encounter some weather. And
all right, so you admit that you knew that this unedited version of Castaway showing the plane crash was going to be shown as you hit turbulence?
Well, you're positioning this like I did something. I didn't do anything wrong. We hit turbulence over the Cleveland Tower, right? At the crash scene in the movie, yes, I knew that we would, but I never deviated from our flight plan. I never manipulated the aircraft. We simply rode into bumpy air.
But you knew you would.
Yes.
You knew you were headed into an area of unstable air. You also timed the showing of the movie for the time you would hit that unstable air.
Well, but at no time did we manipulate the aircraft. This passenger, Mr. Rigney, that is filing a lawsuit, seems to indicate that we manipulated the aircraft to make it feel as if it was in turbulence. I did not do that. He stated in his suit that he thought we were manipulating the thrusters and so forth so as to make it feel like it was turbulence.
You weren't doing that? It was just all...
It was rough air.
Did you know that the flight attendants were going to turn the TVs on and off?
Yeah, we knew that they were going to simulate some power failures and as a matter of fact, at one point I had them turn the cabin lights on and off. I told Elaine, she told me, in fact, she passed me a note, which my attorney has also said he has, and the note said, watch this.
And she passed you a note that said, watch this.
Yeah.
And did you know what that meant?
Oh, yeah.
It meant that she was going to start messing with the TV sets?
Absolutely. It's not an enormous thing, Phil, for the passengers to give to their crew a little bit of relaxation and a little bit of fun. We like to have fun while we work. I'm sure the people are the same.
So what I'm hearing here, before I give our phone number out, is that you intentionally, along with your flight crew, put a scare into these passengers.
Well, see, there's where you're wrong. What I believe we were doing is allowing them to enjoy the reality of flight without being babied like a lot of these passengers are. And I have my reasons for that. Some of them may be personal. I don't know if that's got anything to do with it.
Well, one of the passengers, and there were more that were very alarmed, said showing the crash scene in the movie while the cabin lights were being dimmed on and off and the actual viewing of the thing was going on and off was very, very alarming.
Phil, I can tell you that at no time did we manipulate that aircraft. Last time I checked, the FAA doesn't tell me what to do with my cabin lights.
All right, our number here, hold on, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Art Griego joins me. We're talking about an incident occurring over the United States in an aircraft that he was piloting. How many passengers were on board?
That night we had 120.
What kind of plane was it?
It was a 757.
All right, so you got a 757 up in the air. You're over Cleveland, Ohio, where you know you're going to hit rough air. And it was at that moment that she put on Castaway?
Well, timed it so that the plane crash scene, which is about half an hour to 45 minutes into the film, would then be shown. Now, you are, I believe, manipulating this conversation a little bit, Mr. Henry, the way I never manipulated the plane.
Well, tell me how I'm doing that. Because I'm just recounting. You told me...
Well, you're making it sound like we were trying to scare the daylights out of the passengers. I let me tell you a story about myself and my life. Phil, so you understand why I became a pilot. And my father was a pilot. He wasn't a commercial pilot, but he had a small plane that he enjoyed flying. And I would go up with him on Sundays. I was very much afraid of flying when I was very young. But I would go up with him because I wanted to be with him, even though flying scared me so much. One Sunday morning, my father took me up, and I'll never forget as long as I live, he suddenly started to scream. And it was one of those screams that you never forget. It was a cold-blooded scream that literally went right to the marrow of my bones. The plane began to nose toward the earth, and before I knew it, we were headed at a 45-degree angle directly at the earth as my father just continued to scream with tears streaming down his eyes. We were going at probably a full speed of about 200 miles an hour, when suddenly, probably a couple of hundred feet over the earth, my father pulled the plane up, and I realized that he'd been joking. And we both laughed for it must have been a half an hour. It was a hysterical laugh, and at times it was a laugh that I couldn't stop It was almost an uncontrollable laugh. In fact, I kept laughing, and my father kept laughing until we were in the car and halfway home. We never stopped laughing. So I suddenly was able to deal with my fear of flying. But
now, I want to be clear. Your father went into a, pretended like the plane was crashing.
That is correct, yeah.
And he screamed, you say, a scream that you'll never forget.
Yeah, it was just a howling horror movie scream, as if he was getting an arm sawed off. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Exterminator, but in that film, they feed a man into a meat grinder. And the scream in that movie of that guy getting fed into a meat grinder is exactly the one that my father emitted as we plummeted to Earth 200 miles an hour in a plane that was seemingly out of control, only to find out that he was joking around, and it was a big misunderstanding. We shook hands. I'm just remembering it now.
All right. What has that got to do with your pilot, with your passengers?
If I, as a 8-year-old boy, can withstand something like that, then I think my passengers can man up a little bit and allow a crew that works very hard to relax and let off a little bit of steam.
But the way you guys are relaxing and letting off steam is by...
Is making the passengers a little bit of the butt of a joke. But it is nothing that I think deserves a lawsuit. Far from it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the voice of Art Griego, a commercial airline pilot, who on the night of April 30th had his flight attendant load into the cassette player on the airline, on the aircraft, the film Castaway, an unedited version of that film, which shows a very frightening plane crash scene. While the plane crash scene is being played out in the film, the aircraft, known to pilot Griego, enters unstable air over Ohio. So the plane is going through some pretty bad turbulence while there's a plane crash scene on television or on the in-flight movie. Also, the flight attendants are dimming the lights, turning the monitors on and off, basically creating a situation where there might be a little bit of hysteria and anxiety generated. Mr. Griego defends this activity as his crew simply letting off a little bit of steam. Well, they're being sued. Our number here on the Phil Hendry Show is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The eighth wonder of the world.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
With me is Art Griego. He's a commercial airline pilot who, in April of this year, was flying transcontinental when he flew, the plane flew, its flight path carried it into some rough air. And while that rough air sort of was being dealt with by the crew, the flight attendants showed an uncut version of Castaway with the flight crash scene. All of this planned by you and your crew to put a little bit of a scare into the passengers. Isn't that correct?
No, it's not to put a scare into the passengers, Phil.
Well, come on. I mean, you told me it's to let off steam.
That is correct, yes.
Well, how are you letting off steam unless the passengers are getting scared?
Well, it's not to put a scare into them to the point where the aircraft is going to have to deal with a hysterical cabin. What we're talking about is after hours and hours of flying, where flight attendants have to take any amount of abuse from passengers, where, you know, at the end of a flight, I'm standing there at the cabin door, and I'm saying goodbye to these people, and half of them don't even acknowledge the fact that I just flew their you-know-whats across the... You know, so in other words, what we're doing is sort of just blowing off some steam, trying to let the tension go, and I don't understand why a lawsuit is necessary when we were having some fun. And
but it's not fun when people who have a fear of flying...
Well, there you go right there. I was an 8-year-old boy, and my father helped me conquer my fear of flying by simply putting a private plane into a nosedive and simulating a scream from a horror film. And just like that, years of fear left me. And we had a big laugh, shook hands, and it was all a big misunderstanding.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you something. It seems to me like what you're doing is you're putting people through the simulated anxiety, a simulated kind of a situation where the anxiety they feel is like that of a plane crash.
Well, I don't know if you know, Mr. Inner. I've been in near crash situations many times, and that's nothing. Believe me, what I put those passengers through isn't even, if you'll pardon me, it's not even a fart bubble. I mean, it's, pardon my language, but it's just doesn't even register.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over here to Tony. Tony, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Tony.
Hello, sir.
Yes, sir, go right ahead.
No, I was just commenting on, I was thinking how did he even get a commercial license? This man needs to seem like he needs to check up on his neck up.
Why do you say that, sir? I've had a commercial life.
Because I can't believe you can play with somebody's life like that.
Tony, you need to turn your radio down, too. Turn your radio down. Is it down, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Art?
I've had a commercial pilot's license, Phil, for 21 years. And I've got a safety record that is, I put it up against anybody's. I don't know exactly what this man's point is, other than the fact that, you know, we're blowing off some steam. Are you afraid
of playing with somebody's life blowing off steam?
Well, I'm not playing with anybody's life. The plane was at no time in danger. At no time were we was it out of control. At no
but
time.
But you don't know if people there have fear of flying or whatever. Because some people just might be taking a chance. They don't put you in a position when even aviation say you can't flip off the lights and all that.
Yes. What if one of the passengers got panicked to the point where they became
exactly.
a safety risk or something like that?
You know something, Phil? That's why you've got flight attendants with full pots of scalding hot water. Okay? That'll quiet down a passenger that's getting out of control.
Well, so what you're telling me is you put a passenger through this kind of anxiety ride, and if any one of them gets out of control, you got a flight attendant with a coffee pot full of scalding water?
You got it. Look, if they can't settle back, if they can't settle back and have a little bit of fun with life, do you fly much, sir?
I can't even believe this conversation. I gotta go.
Well,
I can't believe this man. He thinks he's God.
I don't think I'm God at all. And
you
I
must do.
At no time, sir, did I ever endanger anyone's safety.
Oh my goodness, you must. I don't know what.
Are
in
you
all logic? You gotta be kidding me.
If you're afraid of flying, you can say so.
No, I'm not afraid of flying. A lot of people are afraid of flying, but
yes.
Sometimes you have to fly, but they don't put you just because you got a license for 21 years to jeopardize somebody's life.
Sir, I didn't jeopardize anyone's life. I was having a couple of laughs.
Man, you can't have fun with people flying a plane. You're having fun. Come on.
Well, wait a minute. The plane was in the control of the crew.
You're out of control with that one.
Well, he is afraid of flying.
Well, wait a minute.
I'm not afraid of flying.
Well, you're not listening to what I'm saying. The plane was always in the control of the crew. At no time was it ever in danger. All we did was show a lousy movie and flick some lights on and off. If you think about it, that's all we did. Now, how is that?
But you don't ever know who there is, like, if might you, be insecure. You know,
if you've got somebody in
the... Your dad played with you that way? Man, I'm not even going to comment on that one.
Well, wait a minute. My father taught
dad,
me...
Your father, man, come on. So then you think it's... So what your father did, you think it's like to play a game with somebody else.
I can
might be in fear of flying.
I can tell you it cured me of my fear of flying. And
I think personally, I'm going to tell you personally, I think.
Your father's still living, rest in peace, but your father was a lunatic.
I'm going to say this. Taking an 8-year-old boy up into a plane.
Yeah, your father was a lunatic.
Nosediving it and screaming, and I'm quoting
you. And that was fun.
I was scared out of my wits. In fact, if you want to know the truth,
anybody with any kind of logic, know that's absolutely.
It was not fun, but what it did do is it cured me of my fear of flying. Now,
your father must have been on something.
Well, sir, my father was a military veteran, and
that's what I said. He must have been on something.
Well, I dare say I haven't characterized any member of your family, sir. I don't think
that's all
necessary.
Good. I mean, you can. Because both my brothers went to Vietnam, so like I say,
well,
I can handle that.
If they were in Vietnam, maybe they were on something.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, gentlemen, we don't need to.
I can fess up to mine, but don't fess up to your own.
See, here's the thing that I want to. You get a passenger that freaks out and starts to really get upset, and you're telling me that the defense against that is a flight attendant.
Let me tell you something, Phil.
I put the lawsuit down.
You get a passenger out of control, and you swing a coffee pot up upside that person's face. That's the end of that problem.
Man, we talking about a commercial jet airline, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you're in control of.
Not only that, but the 9/11 situation, people are freaked out by flying to begin with.
Well,
but 9/11 is something that was a terrorist act.
Well, I'm trying to let my crew blow off some steam and at the same time not jeopardize the aircraft. And
but,
okay,
per
and
se,
yeah.
You have that right for you to make that decision.
Why don't we get a little payback?
No, for you to make payback? For people that are paying for a flight, that's
no,
payback.
No, a little payback for the abuse
what
we take.
What kind of logic is that?
No, I'm saying, why don't we get some payback for the abuse
what
the
kind
flight?
Of logic is that?
I'm just telling you, why can't we get...
It's not like some payback. I mean, come on, man.
All
man,
right.
I got to go, man.
All right. Tony, thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. What do you mean by payback?
For the abuse the attendants take.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I felt better again, you know.
Well, I don't know. You had a good relationship with your father.
Oh, absolutely, Phil.
Is your father still alive?
My father is still alive. He's elderly. He lives in Bloomington, Indiana. My mother passed on 5 years ago. My dad was a pilot, not only with the... my father was a pilot not only with the Marine Corps, but he was also a private pilot. Commercial pilot, and eventually was one of the founding members of the National Flying Museum, and I think was a great example to me of flying. But he liked to blow off a little steam, and sometimes he'd get my sister and I up there, and you know, he'd pretend like the plane was crashing. I mean, it's not unusual to enjoy with your children. I've heard you say on your program, Mr. Eddie, haven't you played games with the kids? You know, the steering's out.
Well, I'm playing. You know, I'm with the kids and I'm doing it. But at no time do I not have control of the car.
Well, at no time do I not have control of the plane.
But those are children, and they know, and they've played the game before, and they know that I'm having fun. This is not a cabin full of people whose sole intention is to transport themselves and their family members across the country from one city to the next, not knowing that they've got a pilot sitting up there in the cockpit. Who's playing some games with them, you know?
Well, I think what they ought to do is think about that the next time they get pushy with a flight attendant and start asking for pillows and all of this stuff.
Let me ask you, isn't that what we're allowed to do with flight attendants?
Yeah, to a point, yes. But when it becomes just incessant, when you hit that light over your seat just to see it go on, just to see how fast they'll, you know, that's when it starts to get, you know, where we have to step in as a crew.
Where you got to step in. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Richard, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah. Are you still flying for this airline carrier?
Not right now, no. Yeah, pending this, the outcome of this suit, I've been reassigned. I'm not flying.
Well, thank goodness. So I can't say shame on them then, because you deserve everything you got. That is disgraceful.
So you're afraid of flying too?
No, I'm not afraid of flying.
Well, then what are you worried about?
I'm not worried about anything. I think somebody with the pilot's qualifications and professionalism that should be shown in the industry, you are a poor example of that. And, in fact, I doubt very seriously whether this is on the up and up. Okay? The thing
okay.
You said tonight.
I wish it wasn't. I wish that this was all a joke, because I'll be honest with you. When I heard that a lawsuit had been filed against me, naming me, as well as my airline, I was shocked. All we're doing is allowing our flight attendants and allowing our crew to blow off steam and get a little payback.
Well, you can blow off steam after that plane's on the ground.
What is this payback you keep talking about?
The way these flight attendants are treated.
So you are trying to scare them. You are trying to panic them. You are trying to create a feeling of unease and discomfort for your passengers so you can get payback for the flight attendants because they get asked for pillows too much?
You know, Mr. Henry, I've noticed a pattern with you and your callers. In other words, this is you're ganging up on me, and you don't understand that I'm the pilot. Now, at no time did I...
I know you're the pilot. I know...
At no time was that plane in any danger.
That's not the point here. The point is you were not professional.
Well, you know
you
what?
You should be ashamed of your,
are you a pilot?
Your actions.
Are you a pilot, sir?
No, I'm not.
Well, then how do you know what's professional?
Because I work okay? I have many years in the workforce, and I know of your caliber, when you're in control of upwards of 300 people's lives on an airplane, you have to be professional.
Who would you rather?
To show anything less than that, even in a joking manner, is not professional, and you deserve everything that may be coming.
First of all, we went into turbulence that was in our flight path. I can't avoid that. I can certainly change altitude, but you're going to hit rough air. So that's not my fault.
Well, but you didn't.
That's not my fault.
You admitted that you can change altitude.
No. Yes, I did. But the point is, you're going to hit rough air no matter what altitude you're in. It was a very short period of rough air, probably no more than 5 minutes. Secondly, okay, so she put the movie on right when the flight crash happened.
Yeah, but you knew she was going to put the movie on.
Even the movie has nothing to do with it. You were less than professional.
Then what are you talking about? If the movie's
less than professional and trying to justify your actions here over a radio.
Wait a minute. If the rough air was there and the movie's got nothing to do with it, then you're only left with them flipping the lights on and off.
That's right. And you were.
Is that what you're upset
were a
about?
Party of that. All right. You were a party.
You did. You flipped the lights on and off.
One time.
That doesn't matter.
This Elaine Beaupre, she's the one that kept, messing with the TV set.
The whole crew, hopefully the whole crew was grounded.
Absolutely. Are any of these people flying?
I don't know.
Well, they shouldn't be. As a matter of fact, tomorrow morning I think I'll make a phone call to the airline because I know which one it is and find out exactly the status.
See, what you want to do is take hardworking pilots and hardworking flight attendants and make our lives hell so some overweight woman can cry for another pillow or a bag of peanuts. See what I'm saying?
I doubt whether you're a pilot. I don't think this is
all. Well, sir, if I'm not a pilot, I would guarantee you would rather fly with a guy that might have had a fatality crash than fly with me, wouldn't you?
No.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of intelligence that you are exhibiting.
No, I'm listening to a jackass.
Well, I have had no crashes. I have never lost a life. And yet there's guys flying who put it in the ocean. You'd rather fly with those guys than me.
That's not the point. I'd rather fly with a guy who hasn't had either. Some guy that flies safe, hasn't ever crashed one, and doesn't screw around with the in-flight movie. Thanks very much, Richard. 1-800-449-8686.
Wait a minute. Don't I get to say anything? Because you're saying, in other words, the guy that takes a plane and flies it into the side of a mountain, and he's the only one that walks away, you'd rather fly with him than me because I turn the lights on and off.
What do you mean he flew it into the side of a mountain and he's the only one that walks away?
I know two guys. They flew 747s right into the side of a granite-faced mountain. The plane exploded 12,000 feet off the ground. They walked away without a scratch. Everybody else dead.
Two pilots?
Yes. They're still flying, and yet you'd rather fly with them than me.
I didn't say that. Hold on. I got to check that one out. Flew 747s into the side of a granite-faced mountain, blew up, everybody dies, and they walk away without a scratch. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Art Griego is a commercial pilot who, over the United States on April 30th over Cleveland, Ohio, had a flight attendant put on the film Castaway, the unedited version with the plane crash scene, one of the most disturbing and realistic plane crash scenes I think you'll ever see in a movie. And while that was happening, the plane went through turbulence. You were also turning the lights on and off. Did you shut the air off?
I'm sorry?
Did you shut the air conditioning off?
We turned the air off for a little bit, yeah. I mean, what we're doing, again, you need to understand, these are flight attendants that need to let off a little steam.
Did the oxygen masks come down as well at one point?
We released the oxygen masks for about, that was at the very end, and we said to everybody, we're just joking. And when I want to make another point, Mr. Henry, that needs to be made. When that plane landed safely at Kennedy in New York, As the passengers got off, we shook everybody's hand, told them no hard feelings. We gave everybody a snack pack and some gifts from the airline, and it was no hard feelings. And everybody was fine except this one guy, this Rigney, who I did describe in the newspaper article that you're talking about.
Well, you described him as, quote, that pain in the ass Rigney, didn't you?
I might have said that to the reporter from the Times, yeah.
Everything you're doing here, sir, I got to tell you, whether you get fired or not, sounds very, very unprofessional. My understanding is you have a tape of your father, who actually was a tape recording of your dad when he took you up.
This was a simulation of my father. I asked him to recreate it for me, if you want to hear this. This is what my dad did that day when he put the plane into a fake dive and pretended like we were crashing.
Is that what he did to you when you were an 8-year-old boy?
Oh, you know, you're making this sound like it's bad, but it was, believe me, we laughed.
Your father did, all right. 1-800-449-8686. Isaac, go ahead. Isaac?
I'm here, brother.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Oh, man, this is amazing. I have a couple of waiter friends of mine who were listening along in the show, and it's like they said, hey, you know, next time this gentleman's in our restaurant, we'll make sure that we blow off steam and spit in his food. I mean,
wait a minute. I didn't harm anybody's health, sir.
No, but also you were talking about assaulting passengers?
Oh, no.
What about the idiots of aunts? What about the mental retarded? Have you never flown with mental retarded people?
Sir, if somebody is threatening the safety of that aircraft, you hit him with a coffee pot and ask questions later.
I am loving this because you're being recorded, and this is going to be played at your trial. You know this, right?
Hey, you know what? It's nothing I haven't said to you. I haven't told my attorney. And
that's
nothing
amazing.
I'm saying.
You must have $1 million attorney.
Sir,
because
I don't know what qualifies you as a waiter to know about flying airplanes. I mean, maybe serving coffee on the airplane you know something about.
But at the same time, you know, I'm amazed that you're even allowed to fly with the mentality that you have, the unprofessionalism.
What did I do that's, you know, besides you quoting what another caller said, what did I do that jeopardized the safety of that plane?
I'll say that you could have gotten somebody so upset that they did begin to cause a safety problem in the cabin. Someone who's got an anxiety attack, somebody who's flipping out, somebody who's running up and down the aisle.
I told
what
you,
did the air marshal think of this?
That's what a... What air marshal?
Exactly. So there was an air marshal on there?
No, we know if there's air marshals on board or not, and there are not air marshals on every flight.
What would an air marshal say about this?
I think the air marshal would think, oh, gee, there's turbulence.
No. I'm talking about getting people in a frenzy panic, endangering his job, because you're now going to assault somebody on a plane.
No, the air marshal... Look, if you're talking about some retard who gets out of his seat and is running around like Jerry Lewis, you take a coffee pot full of scalding hot water.
And if he starts to... brawl with the person who hit him? Is the air marshal supposed to react?
That's what you got flight attendants for.
Wait a minute. Now you're beginning to sound like a real jackass. You got a guy who is now freaking out. You're telling me a flight attendant's going to handle that?
Are you talking about a terrorist that's going to hijack the plane?
I'm talking
about anybody who's being a danger to that plane, because the air marshal's job is to handle any danger that is on that plane, correct?
It's the air marshal's job to handle any threat to the safety of the aircraft. That is correct.
Okay. Now, you just said,
some guy
with a coffee pot.
Wait a minute. Some retard running around like Jerry Lewis.
No. There's no running. If you know you're playing correctly, there's not enough room to run. I'm talking about standing up, panicking, thinking their life is coming.
So what are they doing? How do they jeopardize the aircraft by standing up?
Well, if you think about it, other passengers stand up and start trying to move around in a plane.
That's what I just got done telling you. So there's no room to do it.
Okay, but you're telling me people are running around like Jerry Lewis. I'm not saying anybody's running around like Jerry Lewis. Enough people panic, you have now what they call a commotion.
Look, I've been in that situation where we've had some retard get up and coach and run it.
What do you mean by retard, by the way?
Well, I'm talking about a guy running around with his knees together and all of that stuff. I can tell you, as soon as they run by the galley, you stick an arm out with a coffee pot. Now, you lose a coffee pot, but... They're out
cold. Has that been done before?
On my planes, it has.
It has? Can you give me the name of the attendant who did that?
Can I ask you something? Are we talking about people who lick salami and stick it on the seat in front of them?
Are you serious?
What do you mean?
I mean, is he talking about mentally challenged people?
Okay, let's say I am. Let's take that word, mentally challenged. If you do what you did to a mentally challenged person, what do you think their reaction is going to be?
Well, sir, if they're jeopardizing the safety of the aircraft...
No, you're not answering my question.
Look, at licking salami.
licking salami. I'm not talking about what your mother's doing in heaven. I'm talking about a mentally retarded person would do if a plane starts going off way you did.
I know what your mom is doing right now.
I'm telling you, not a problem.
And she's cooking
She's listening to you and laughing with me and going, are you serious?
Your mom is cooking me dinner right now, son.
That's okay, because she's doing the same thing for me.
Do you know why I called you son?
No, all right, please. Hey. Let's back it down, gentlemen, okay?
No, this guy's talking. I had a retard licking salami and sticking it on the seat in front of him. Is that what he's talking about?
I can't wait
to use
your license. I can't wait to read it in the paper.
You know what,
it's
going
to be excellent, because I'm going to say, I got to talk to that jackass.
Yeah.
And it was that good.
And you'll be telling that to somebody you're serving clam chowder to.
It's okay, because I'll be able to laugh about it and
Isaac, thank you. Sir, thank you for your call. I don't think that you have a good... I don't think it's necessary, this mama stuff.
He started talking about my mom. You know, he brought my mother into it. All bets are off. Katie, bar the door.
Are you talking about some retard licking salami and sticking it on the seat in front of him? 1-800-449-8686 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pull your head out of your ass. Plug into the world. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Jonathan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. We just have a few seconds. Go ahead.
How you doing, Phil?
Yes, good.
My name's, and I'm, you know what, dude? You're an embarrassment to the aviation community.
Well,
I mean, a major embarrassment.
I've never crashed an aircraft.
I don't care, man. I grew up with American, okay? My mom's a retired flight attendant. The airlines, FAA, they have protocols. I don't care. You know what? You had steam to blow off in the time that you're off duty. You know what? I don't give a crap. I'm going to school for aviation, man. You're a total embarrassment.
Well, you're going to school to do what? I mean, you're going to be a pilot.
I'm going to school for avionics.
A pilot? Or
no, avionics, buddy.
What is that? What's avionics?
Yeah, okay, you're a pilot and you don't even know what
avionics is. You don't know what avionics is.
I know what aviation is. I don't know what avionics is.
Dude, what you're flipping the switches are, that's your avionics. Then you sure in the hell ain't no pilot.
You know what? They never told us that, okay? Is that my fault?
What do you mean they never told
you
that?
Okay, then do you know what an AMP is?
What's wrong with me listening to a tape of my father?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but what you did on that commercial aircraft was out of line.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR.